Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 78. We're going to turn to Psalm 16, but we'll just start off with Psalm 78 to grab a verse to mark and highlight. But Psalm 78, and then we're going to turn to Psalm 16. First Chronicles 16, but we'll get there eventually. Turn with me to Psalm 78, and we'll start there. The book of Psalm 78. As we're finishing up the year, we're just hitting a couple of extra messages dealing with labor in the church, understanding that there are roles to play in the church, and everyone has a part to play, and that we have some important things that are so overlooked sometimes, and we want to show one by doing a character study of a man by the name of Asaph. The man of Asaph. Notice, if you don't mind, in Psalm 78, this is a psalm that God allowed Asaph to write. In Psalm 78, and notice with me in verse number 7, it says, that they might set their hope... Let's start in verse number 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and have known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob, and hath appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Psalm 78? Psalm 78 in verse number 6, the first phrase, that the generation to come might know. And with this, we're going to do a character study on the man of Asaph. And if there is a good line, a good phrase to attribute to Asaph to do a character study, to study his life, that the generation to come might know. Asaph, that the generation to come might know. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would help us to have a good understanding and to learn from the life of Asaph, to see what his life teaches us, that we can apply it to ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for being a wonderful God. And thank you for the opportunity to serve you in the various ministries, especially the one that we're going to be talking about tonight. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, and that you guide and direct me, get your work accomplished the way that you see fit, not the way that I have in my mind. Lord, you draw people close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember that when we study the lives of people doing character studies, every life teaches a message. Out of every life, we can learn something about an aspect, one thing that their life teaches a message on. If they're a good person, then it's a good message. If it's a bad person, then we have a warning from them. And every once in a while inside of the Bible, we have a biblical phrase that just gives a quick synopsis, a quick overview of that person's life. For example, we have Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a great message to attribute to a person. in the book of Ruth. We have Ruth going to Naomi and saying, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. Praise the Lord. Esther, for a time such as this. And that every once in a while you have a great biblical phrase that could be attributed to a character to give an overview for his life. Asaph, the overview, the verse, the phrase that you could put in his life to see what his life teaches, that the generation to come might know. One thing about Asaph that we learned about him and we're going to look in his life is that he invested in his life in the next generation. He raised and was involved in training children to love music. Because it is through music, it is a great medium to be able to teach children about God, about the Bible. By the way, if it's good enough to teach children, it's good enough to teach adults about God and about the Bible. And that Asaph was someone who understood biblical music and understood what a great tool it is to teach another generation of who God is. If you don't mind, let's just do an examination and a study of the life of Asaph, and let's learn, see what we can learn from him. First of all, let's see Asaph's ministry in David's time. Asaph's ministry in David's time. For this, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 6. 1 Chronicles chapter number 6. As you're turning there, you might recognize that 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9 is the list of begots. You say, I recognize it because every time I get to that in my Bible reading, I just, oh great, here we are. I was laughing with my wife that I said, can you wait till you do the fill in the blanks of 1 Chronicles and the begats, the whole listing of just, it's like, what do you leave out, a name or the begats? It's just, oh, we're going to trudge through this thing. But yet, in the middle of all of these listing of names, you could still learn quite a bit about people from their families, from their heritage, and learn more about them. Asaph is a very important character, and not only that, he's important because of where he came from. Notice with me in 1 Chronicles chapter number 6. 1 Chronicles and chapter number 6. And notice with me, if you don't mind, 1 Chronicles 6, and start with me in verse 22. The sons of Kohath, Aminadab his son, Korah his son, Asher his son, Elkanah his son, Abiasaph his son, and Asher his son. And it goes on. Now, you say, all right, you read us a list of names. In here, we have the generations of Levi. And the generations of the tribe of Levi was broken up into three families. The family of Gershon, the family of Kohath, and the family of Merari. Now, you might remember in our study of the tabernacle that each one of these families had a part to play inside of the transportation of the tabernacle. That we know that specifically the family that Asaph was from, notice again in verse number 2, the sons of Kohath. He is going to be part of the Kohathite family, who had the most important job of the three. Their job was to carry the actual furniture of the temple. They were to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the brazen altar. They were to carry the table of showbread, the golden candlestick. And this was a very important job that they had. Now, if you might also notice that inside of this family line, verse number 22, the sons of Kohath, Aminadab his son, Korah his son. If you might be familiar with that name, this is the same Korah who led a rebellion against Moses. And that God had opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and his family all up. However, there was a grandson that lived, and the list goes on. It says, Korah his son, Asher his son, Elkanah his son, and Abiasaph his son, and Asher his son. Now, one thing changed about Elkanah is that Elkanah looked at his granddad and said, you know what, granddad messed up pretty bad. And we learned that there's a real God. And so, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And we're going to train all of our family to take this seriously, that what happened to Korah, is not going to happen to us. Praise the Lord for that. Because there are so many times that someone says, well, because my grandfather was a burglar, he was a bank robber, I got to go rob banks. Just because my father was a loser, I'm going to grow up to be a loser. And what happens is that we use our lineage to give us an excuse to stay in squalor, to stay in our life. But we could do things and serve God in spite of our family, not because of it. And the rest of the family said, we're going to teach all the next generation to come to serve God, to fear God, to follow after him. And so, by the way, the list goes on. Notice as we see the list pick up in verse 31. And these are they who David set over the house of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing. Until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then they that waited on the office according to their order. And these are they that had waited with their children of the sons of the Kohathites, Heminan, a singer, the son of Joel, and the son of Shimeel. Then notice in verse 39 as the list goes on, and his brother Asaph, who stood on his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berechi, the son of Shimei. So this list is going to go on. By the way, inside of this list, the lineage that we didn't read is going to be Samuel the prophet. And it continues on, and you're going to have a whole family who are going to be called the sons of Kohath, the sons of Korah, the sons of Kohath, and these are going to be the singers, the choir, official choir of Israel in David's day. Praise the Lord that you had someone who messed up in the family, and the rest of the family on down says, we're going to serve God, and they were so dedicated to God that God says, I want this family to be the singers, the choir. And out of this, you had a man by the name of Asaph, who came from a lineage that was privileged of God to carry the tabernacle and to carry the actual furniture of the tabernacle. But they had someone that messed up, and they said, we're not going to let this spoil everything. We're going to determine to serve God. We're not going to let others around us control whether we serve God or not. We're going to follow after God. And then Asaph, he became the national song leader. In fact, he was used to write 78 psalms in the Bible. That's not correct. That's not the right number. I was thinking of David. We're going to get to Asaph and him writing psalms here in a bit. Notice, if you don't mind, as we kind of fast forward, notice with me in 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, we learn a little bit more of the setting up of the tabernacle, or the future temple. David is setting things in order. And notice, if you don't mind, as he gets Asaph and he puts them into order. Notice with me 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, and for the context's sake, notice with me in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offering before God. And when David had made an end of the offering of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he, David, appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, and it goes on. And so here it talks about that Asaph was chosen by David to lead the music and the worship. Remember, his family was once picked to minister, to serve God by taking care of the furniture. But now they're getting a permanent dwelling place, and Asaph is still called upon through his family's lineage to still minister before the God and the ark, but this time ministering through singing. And he still has the privilege of serving in the house of the Lord. And that Asaph was an important part of this music ability. Notice in verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph, his brethren. David wrote a song, then he delivered it to the hand of Asaph for him to teach it to others. That's pretty amazing. Many people believe that Asaph was the one who set David's Psalms to music. That it was his job to help teach people the Word of God. And as God gave David words to write, Asaph would put it to music and teach people these songs so they would learn more about who God is. They could learn more about Scripture. Praise the Lord. Music is one of the great mediums to teach people doctrine, to teach people the Word of God, to teach people more about who God is. Music is such an important ministry. And here Asaph is ministering in the service of the house of the Lord. He's serving in God, laboring for God by using music. So many times music is not elevate it inside of churches. It's something we enjoy. It's something we do. But so often, it's at the place where we're like, okay, we're just checking it off. All right, we're making our soul happy. But do you understand with these old-fashioned hymns, we're teaching people the Bible? We're teaching people doctrine. It's a very important ministry of the service of the house of the Lord. And here is a song leader. Praise the Lord for good song leaders who understand this is a ministry. This is a serving opportunity to teach people the Word of God through music, to teach people the character and the attributes of God through music. You understand? It's like preaching a message when we have good doctrinal music. And David trusted Asaph to do this. Notice again in verse 37. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. Do you know what Asaph's job was? Every day he was to lead the ministry of music before the ark of the covenant, before the ark of the Lord, before the temple or the tabernacle. And he was to be in charge every day. They would sing certain psalms to wake up. They would sing certain psalms at noon. They would sing certain psalms at night. They would have certain psalms for special days. They would have special psalms for every day of the week. Each day had its own psalm. They had special psalms for service days. It was Asaph's job to direct traffic to make sure that the ministry of music was going on. Notice in chapter 25, 1 Chronicles 25. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who shall prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with symbols, the number of workmen according to their service was, and the sons of Asaph, of Zachar, and of Joseph, and Nethalah, and Asariah, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Notice twice it said that they were to prophesy. The word prophesy is equivalent to our word preaching, and it comes in two ideas. There is forthtelling and foretelling. Foretelling is to tell something that hasn't happened yet, or to predict or to say what is going to happen. By the way, God gave Asaph psalms to write that talked about this. Then the other aspect of it is forthtelling, which is the idea of proclaiming what has already been written. That's what I'm doing to you now. I'm not giving you new information. I am proclaiming what God has already given to us through his word. And how did Asaph preach? He preached through music. Music was a preaching opportunity to teach people the Word of God and more about who God was through the ministry of music. Notice with me in verse number 6. All these were under the hand of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps for the service of the house of God. Remember, we were looking for that phrase earlier. Here it is. According to the king's order to Asaph, to Jethaniah, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning. The word cunning carries the idea of skillful, that they were practiced, that they were taught, to the 280. So by the end of his life, Asaph was put in charge of instructing children and developed a choir of 288 children. The phrase, even all that were cunning, that they were trained and skilled. You know, one of the ministries that's often overlooked is a children's choir. To be able to teach children at a young age to minister before God, to serve God. Some people will say, well, I could just teach my kid to sing at home. You could, but the idea is not to teach him to sing, it's to teach him to serve God through music. And we do that today through the local church that the local church organizes, to have children to learn how to minister and to sing. That a children's choir is a very important part, and to teach children to sing. That's why even in nursery workers, we train nursery workers. It's not just babysitting, but we try to teach them songs. We try to teach them Bible. We try to teach them more about God, and that it's an opportunity to introduce to them the medium of music and teaching. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're ministering to them and getting them to sing. And by the way, how many unchurched families that start coming to church have their kids learn that song and sing it all the time during the week? You know what? They're ministering and doing God's work. That it is a great opportunity to teach children to sing. And it is something that we can't overlook. It is something that needs to be emphasized, the opportunity to teach children to sing. Praise the Lord for every music teacher who invests in teaching children to sing for the Lord. With that, we also see Asaph's ministry in the Psalms. Asaph's ministry in the Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Again, this is one of the Psalms that Asaph was used of God to write. Psalm 78. We know that Asaph was a known seer, which in those days was just like a prophet. It was another name for a prophet. God used him to write 12 Psalms, Psalm 50, then Psalm 73 to 83. That was Psalm 50 and Psalm 73 through 83. Now, a good example of Asaph's ministry is actually found here in Psalm 78. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 4. We will not hide them, which them is what are things that we learn from 4 about the Bible, about God, from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works, which he hath done. You know, we're to teach children about praising God. We're to teach children about his strength. We're to teach children the wonderful works of the Lord. These are things that we're to teach children, and we could do that through song. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. You know, that's an important lesson to teach a child and to put it in their mind and let them know this. This is what we're supposed to teach children, and we could do that through music. Notice verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 5, we're to teach children the Bible. We are clearly instructed that if we want another generation to serve the Lord, we have to teach children, invest in them, and teach them the Bible. I'm so against youth programs that teach that take kids out of the Bible and take them throwing footballs or playing games or having parties instead of teaching them the Word of God. We have a great opportunity to teach kids the Bible, the Word of God. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children. We're supposed to teach children so they can grow up and have children, the children that aren't born yet, and that they could teach them to their children. We're supposed to do it in such a way, teach kids the Bible, so that they could teach them to their kids. And again, music is a great medium to teach children. Praise the Lord for every parent who teaches their kid, Jesus loves me. That we're passing it down. We want them to trust God. Music is a great medium. And when you get a family who, at an early age, you sing together, they're going to start serving God together. They're going to be able to stay together. It's just something about putting it in their DNA that they start singing without being prompted. Again, I love at our house where if someone's doing dishes by themselves, they just start singing. We just quiet and we just listen. It wasn't because we forced them to do it. It's just now part of who they are. You invest in them and put them at a young age, and it becomes a part of them, and they stay with it, and then they later on teach their children. Music is such a vital part of making sure the next generation is reached. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go to verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget his works, but keep his commandments. We teach children music and we teach them the Bible so that way they can always set their hope in God. You know how many 8-year-olds today have no hope? It is frightening to hear 8-year-olds who have already tried to commit suicide. You know what an 8-year-old boy should be doing? Chasing frogs. Pulling on little girls' pigtails. I mean, that boys should be boys. They should not be gloom and doom. They should be hopeful. Little girls should be dreaming about their wedding day in the future and Prince Charming and whatever else. They should be little girls dreaming. They should be hopeful. But our world has crushed children. And they've forced them to grow up, and they've forced them to be people that they're not supposed to be, and they're miserable. A lot of times they're miserable because adults taught them to be miserable. Adults stole their hope away from them. But that's not how it should be. Children should be hopeful. Do you know every child is born with an innate sense that there's a God? Some adult has to steal a concept of God away from them. And it takes away their hope. Children should be believing that God can do anything, that the greatest days are still ahead. It should be a part of their DNA. By the way, if you grow up as a hopeful child, you'll probably be a hopeful adult. Amen. Amen. And to teach them to follow after God. Children's ministries are so important and so vital to teach children at a young age. Verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that has not set their heart aright, whose spirit is not steadfast in God. By the way, do you think Asaph's family had a little bit of experience with a father that was rebellious and stubborn? That's why I went through that history, by the way. They determined, we're not going to have this happen. We're not going to allow our fathers to determine. By the way, this is why a children's ministry is so important. Because we'll have some adults come in who have never been to church. And we will do what we can for those adults, but those children are precious cargo. Because they're a brand new, grand slate. That's why our Sunday schools are so important. Nurseries are so important. Children's ministries are so important. That even if those adults who come in with such a baggage, we can work with those children and give them a new hope. Because if they were to follow their parents' footsteps, there is no hope for them. Yep. Children's ministries are so vital. No wonder Asaph invested his life in children's work, that a generation to come might know them. A generation to come might know. As we go on, we could see that Asaph and his son's ministry during Solomon's time. So we start in David's time. We could see his ministry in the Psalms. But God also extended his ministry to Solomon, David's son. Notice with me, 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Notice with me, if you don't mind, 2 Chronicles 5. And notice with me in verse 12. So Solomon's finishing building the temple. He moved the Ark of the Covenant into the new house of the Lord. Asaph and his sons are now tasked with providing worship for the event. Notice what he says in verse 12. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and Jephthah. By the way, this is their children's choir that's now grown. Which their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Praise the Lord to have 120 trumpeters. So you got a choir and you got an orchestra. By the way, you want to ask what my favorite music is? It has always been a choir with a live orchestra. Oh, I love it. That's what I listen to when I study, when I read my Bible. It's what I have in the background. I meant, praise the Lord for quartets and trios. But what I really love is a full choir with a full live orchestra. There's something about that in harmony singing. I love it. I love it. It may not be everybody's cup of tea, but that's what I love. And here they had 120 trumpeters. They had people with instruments. They had a full choir. It was something magnificent. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 13. And it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Praise the Lord for harmony. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know what their job was? Their job was to praise God and say that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for this praise. What happened is that God filled the house with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And God put his presence there and the people couldn't be around there. Where did it come from? Singing. And it was Asaph, who, by the way, just didn't put a choir together. Oh, we got a special event. Let's see who we can get singing. This is something they had been working on. Teaching children, and as the children grew up, they were taking their place, and now they were teaching other children, and now they were ready to go and serve God when God called upon them, because they invested in children. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. We're not going to turn to the other passages, but what you find is that Asaph's descendants, remember, Asaph was determined to teach children so that they could teach the next generation. And as you go through the Bible, when you find a significant event, you find Asaph and his descendants a part of it. In the time of Jehoshaphat, it was one of Asaph's descendants, Jehaziel, who spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, the battle's not the Lord. And remember, they put the choir in front of the music. That was Asaph's family. Asaph's thing. Hey, you know what? If you truly want to let the battle be the Lord, let's prove it with song. Praise the Lord, Asaph had taught that, and that continued to go on to the next generation, and they won the battle. In the time of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah restored the temple worship, he had the Levites sing praises to God in the words of David and Asaph the singer. In the time of Josiah, when Josiah found the book and was determined to follow the Lord and keep his commandments, he restored worship, and it was the sons of Asaph that were still singing as musicians, and the singers. So when they said, hey, we found the book, maybe we should start worshiping God. You already had some people that said, hey, we'll help you out. We've never stopped. We kept going. When everyone else forgot the book, we didn't. We've been singing it. Praise the Lord. Later on, when Ezra and Zerubbabel and Nehemiah brought back returns, guess who came back with them? Guess who was the first to volunteer? Asaph's family. Hey, we want to go back. We want to serve God again. That's what our family was trained to do. Let's go. And they were the first ones to volunteer. And when the foundations were built, they were the ones singing praises. When Nehemiah was there, they're the ones who led Thanksgiving with prayer. Uzziah, a sixth generation grandson of Asaph, was in charge of the service of the house of God in Nehemiah chapter 11. Zechariah, another sixth generation grandson, was the one who played the trumpet in Nehemiah chapter number 11. In Nehemiah chapter 12, Asaph again testified over these years that he was faithful to give praise and thanksgiving to God, and that God had used him to heed and pay attention to the words he received in Psalm 78 to teach a generation yet to come. This year, as we put a lot of attention in service to the house of the Lord, we've been reminding people that everyone has a part to play. And if we could really emphasize something that was important, it's children's ministry. D.L. Moody, who was used to start Bible college to see a revival, he said, if I did it all over again, I would work with children. You understand, children, when we teach them at a young age to sing before they realize singing's not cool, and we teach them to love the church before they realize not going to church is cool, and teach them how to soul win before they realize that soul winning's not cool, if we teach them at a young age, it will be a part of who they are. Teaching children to sing. It's why singing needs to be a part of Sunday school. Singing needs to be a part of church. Every kid, as soon as they can, needs to be singing in the hymn book. Parents teaching them. The Sunday school teachers. The nursery workers. All having music as an important part of what they're doing. Because we're using it to teach them the Bible. You say, well, I'm afraid my kids don't pay attention to class. Put it to music. Teach them a song. There's plenty of ways to get songs to go with every lesson that you have. To teach them a song. Work on a song. Make it a month long if they're slow learners. This is our song we're learning for the month because it teaches doctrine. Teach them something there. But there's something about teaching kids, making it a part of them. And they will teach a generation yet to come. How do we keep a church from dying? Get children involved in ministry. Invest in children. Children are not second-class citizens. They're not someone we just kind of shove aside until they turn 18 and then we try to do something with them. We try to do something with them immediately. Get them involved in God's work. Get them singing. Get them to fall in love with God's word. And it is an investment that will pay dividends to teach a generation to come. With that, we really need to place an emphasis of reaching our kids. We've got families in here that are unchurched, have no church background. And as much as we try to work with adults, we really need to get these kids. We need to pray for them, invest in them, to love on them. We need to take every advantage we can. Sunday school teachers, you have a great opportunity to change the life of these kids because if they continue on the path that's laid for them, it's not going to go well. Every teacher and every nursery worker, I know sometimes, oh, great, it's my time to take the nursery. We need to say, praise the Lord, I have an opportunity to serve in the house of God. I have an opportunity to affect another generation, and that you look forward to your opportunity of ministry, not for your time of babysitting, for the service of the house of the Lord, that the generation to come might know. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the reminder tonight of how important children's ministries really are. That we have some precious children a part of our church. And we want the best for them. And humanly speaking, we can look and say, I don't know how to reach them. But biblically speaking, you've already given us the plan. that we could invest in him in Sunday school. We could invest him in music. We could work with him. Lord, I'm asking that you would just please give us more opportunities and be wise with those opportunities and realize that the music ministry and the children's ministry is an important part of the service of the house of God. Lord, help us to take our place in what you're doing. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.